Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts, Sam and Cabrini Greco, coming to you live from beautiful planet Earth. Throughout our conversation, we will be covering topics such as spirituality, global consciousness, metaphysics, and where you think we're truly headed. We have a great show to share with you today, so bookmark us and receive reminders. And you can visit our website at alltruenatural.com.
Well, good evening and welcome to Creative Consciousness Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We are so thrilled and blessed to be with you this evening. Today is Thursday, April 30th of 2015, and everything is happening. Yeah, if you haven't really watched the news lately, or you know, if you don't get your information from, the physical media that's in existence, there's a standing up happening. You see individuals marching together side by side. You know, our prayer for each and every one of these individuals that are walking in solidarity for the harmony and the love for all beings and the truth to be expressed within all service, that it's with them at this very moment. And we already know that it is. So we just want to confirm that reality to you, that the loving presence of the infinite spirit of divinity, of expansive love, is with you right now. Wherever you are on planet Earth, and, you know, we are so thrilled that you are here tonight with us, joining in harmony. We set forth the intention of the show when we open, and it really is to bridge the gap. We host a diversified group of individuals that live spiritually purposed life, whether they're in the actual spiritual community or the scientific community. Perhaps they are involved in self sustainability. It's really about creating a harmonic convergence, very much like what we all experienced back in 1987. But only the expansion of this is that it is actually being brought into form. So the mechanisms of consciousness and spirit is ever present and with us. So we invite all of goodness and all light to be with us and present in this very moment. We have an incredible show tonight. Now, Salvatore is minding the chat room. So as you're listening to the show, you know, we want to thank you for being there with us as well. And, you know, as you listen, you really actually are holding a space. And, you know, we can only suggest to you that you choose to be in the state of love. You know, love is all and all-knowing, and there is no need in love. So as you really do experience your absoluteness of love, you really do expand and you really do ripple throughout all of existence of time. So welcome those of you that are on your phone right now, in the chat room, and wherever you are on planet Earth, we are pleased to be with you. This evening, we are hosting David Matthew Brown. David is an author, and his book that he's presenting this evening is 90 Days of Heart. I'm sorry, 90 Days of Heat. Freedom Through Mashka. Now, that's a really interesting word. I'm really looking forward to hearing what David has to say about this. David is a speaker, author, facilitator, healer. He devotes his time to sharing a fresh and unique message of transcendence. Are you feeling it, folks? Unity? Spiritual healing? David's skills and experience as a speaker, facilitator, and practitioner of the practice is sought by many audiences around the world. He's had a really uniquely positive perspective and has been able to vibrate in and be in this brilliant work as an author, as a teacher, as a counselor, trained at the Agape International Spiritual Center. He's been a host of Inside Out, and he's been blessed with many opportunities to speak with many incredible spiritual beings that are living in the earth right now. you know, including, there's just a list, you know, just feel free. I think we'd like to hear David really talk about that. We'll just let him be the voice of himself. He's also spoken at the Los Angeles Church of Religious Science, the Wellness Center. And that's David laughing in the background, just so you know, everybody. He's getting really, in the presence, right? Freedom Path. He's worked with Sony, Warner, Paramount, Nike, United Nations, Los Angeles. Wow. Wow. I mean, that's just incredible to have those experiences, David. And he's consulted as an expert and interviewed on radio, television, and print. He's been seen, heard, and read on Hay House Radio, Spirit TV, The Alana Pratt Show, CBS Radio, The Lisa Zimmer Show, Miracle Cafe, Awakenings, Blog Talk Radio. And here we are tonight with David tonight, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Creative Consciousness Radio Show. KCSB 91.9 FM, Freeman Michael Show, The Lauren Mackler Show, Energy Talk Radio. Wow, the list just goes on, folks. Unity Magazine, The Infinite Field Magazine, Arizona Republic, and The Huffington Post. Well, you can really get to know David a little bit more is by just connecting with him on Facebook. Look up his name, David Matthew Brown, and then he uses number 3, which is very interesting, behind his name. So with that, and again, thank you. Be blessed. David, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
Really good. So, you know, how are you doing? Let's just get right to it. How is your life going out there? I from what I understand, David, you live in California.
I do. I live in Los Angeles, and it's currently 90 degrees here. It's hot.
Oh, boy, that just sounds so inviting.
Well, it is inviting, but, you'd like some rain. Rain would be good. Right? So, that's good. Life
had an opportunity. Jay had an opportunity to be in Palm Springs in July. We spent just about two weeks in California, and it was one of the most holiest experiences that we had being in the desert.
I bet.
What I find in planetarial, kind of earthly experiences is that when you're in certain types of environment, it really does cause a natural kind of rhythm to the human experience. Can you elaborate a little bit when you talk about the presence? You know, that you're a facilitator and a speaker and a practitioner of the presence. What exactly is the presence to you?
Well, we're in it right now. The best way, it's difficult, as many of your listeners know, and even you know, with interviewing guests, to describe perfectly or to put words to where we are. And so what I love to do is to facilitate an experience for people so that they have the opportunity to feel what it's like to be here. Because essentially, you know, we try to use the term here, H-E-R-E,
yes.
Here and now. I really believe what it really is H-E-A-R. It's hearing. And when you can begin right where you are to hear your breath, the breath is going through your nose, it's the inspiration going through your nose, you have the expiration going out your nose, so you're already experiencing right here as you're listening, life and death. Right where you are is there's a subtle tension going on between life and death right here. You don't know at all when you're going to breathe out and the breath will not come back into this body temple. You have no idea. So now you're in a heightened state of alert because this is it. This is it, and you're breathing in and you're breathing out. And in between these two operations, these two, the inspiration and the expiration, is something that we try to label and describe as love. and we try to describe life and death and love, but they're indescribable, and yet we're in it. And so how do you get in something that you're already in? You must have gone lost somewhere, and we get lost in the mind. And so it's about reinterpreting where we are and resting here. Because what we know, when we ask the question, will tomorrow ever come? Will tomorrow ever come? Right? It's silly when you reach the answer to that. The other thing that I used to ask my clients as they were deepening was, ask yourself this. Why am I so frightened to be alone? Why am I so frightened to be alone? And if you sit there with a superficial edge to that question, you'll think about the physical aspects, and you'll think about, well, I don't have a partner, or this isn't here. But just sit with that question and allow the answer to just well up inside your heart and pop out. So my work, as you talked about, is the work of the heart, and the heart is here with us. And when you break the word heart down, it's spelled H-E-A-R, here, the T, truth. So your heart is only hearing truth. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I really, go ahead. Go ahead.
No,
I don't
want
to interrupt. I was interested, you know, I love the fluidness. And one of the things that I really heard there when you were talking about the breath, you know, just really just being in the breath and feeling the breath, is how, you know, the breath itself is a natural experience. Isn't that true? How we, when we breathe, we're actually in our own essence. Isn't that true?
Yeah, we're in the essence, yeah. Yes, we're in the essence of a creative essence that is constantly evolving. And so change is life, and life is change. So we're getting comfortable with that. And we get comfortable with something when we don't resist it. So, for example, a lot of people are resisting being here, and they do that and they enter their mind. So why spend time trying to resist it when we can go to what already is, which is that we are breathing here. We are breathers of life. And that life is inspiring us here.
Yeah.
So our job is to listen deeply. And when you listen to your breath, it sounds like the ocean tide. It comes in, it comes out. Comes in, it comes out.
Yeah, there is a movement, wouldn't you say, in the physical 3D experience, you know, and in the presence. Isn't there a movement, or do you see a stillness? Is it a nothingness for you, or is it something that expands? You know, it's really interesting, you know, our own individual experience of our presence. That is all, you know, as you, as me, as all of us, you know, this like huge kind of photographic, almost a holographic experience. When you I know it's, I'm taking a form and I'm trying to put it into a box in some sense with words. And I want to be very clear here that there really is no form. It's all just kind of like a photograph. Wouldn't you say, David? I'd love to hear your perspectives of the matrix, like of consciousness, of God, of the divinity that we are, the presence.
Yeah, I love to simplify. I like the more that we simplify, the easier it is here. And so if your audience is listening, can picture an ocean, a big ocean of fish. And the ocean represents consciousness. It represents all consciousness, all love, all unconditional love. And you have a bunch of fish floating around thinking they know where they're at. but they have philosophies and ideas and ways of going about it, and you could stop and do this or that, negating the fact you're already in it. So each of us is floating around in this ocean of consciousness that is both inside of us and outside of us. And the only way that we can really experience that is when you close your eyes, and after a while you realize that the body is no longer here. And the mind slows down. After a while, it just begins to slow down because we no longer relate to ourselves as the noise. And so I love what you're saying, because, yes, it's hard to describe when we talk about that we're not the body, we're not the mind, blah, 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 blah. And most people want to just know, well, how do I fix this, right? How do I fix this
Absolutely.
Problem, or how do I do that? And so in the world, most people spend their time creating problems and solving them. But as you enter here, as you take that gateway, that God, you simply just allow your breath to bring you where you are. Be aware of your body. Are your toes, like, you know, all scrunched up? Is your leg moving around? Is your mind racing? Just acknowledge it. Don't try to change or fix it. And right when you bring awareness to something, it stops. So just bring awareness to the body, then to the breath, and allow the breath to do the work that it does. And bring attention here. Bring awareness here. Oh, I'm thinking, right? Oh, here's some, I'm thinking. Okay. And then what happens? The thoughts go away. Oh, I'm holding on to my hands right now really tight. They go away. They unclench, right? The clenching stops. And so we bring awareness here to the breath. And as we arrive where we already are, because who you are is where you are, then what begins to happen is you begin to become aware that there are no problems right here. That problems are created just a little bit outside of the present. And what happens is, what I notice is that a lot of people don't want to be here because of the noise or because of the feelings or emotions or pain or struggle. And so an easy mantra is to say, here's some noise and I'm okay, right?
Right.
So we acknowledge that there's some noise that we're in. There's some noise and we're okay here. So we can continue to breathe. You're safe here. You're safe where you are. It's bringing the awareness that is everywhere here. Your awareness is like a light bulb. It's like it's light itself. And so I'll ask out loud your listeners that are listening right now, because I asked somebody this at a Trader Joe's yesterday, and I thought her head was going to fall off. How do you know you have thoughts? We talk about it. Everybody's so happy to talk about these thoughts that manifest and do all this wonderful stuff. But how do you actually know you have thoughts? You know that you have thoughts because you're aware of them. You're observing these thoughts. And because you're observing those thoughts, that's the first act of spiritual freedom. The recognition that you're not the thoughts that are thinking, which then leads you to the discovery that, oh my goodness, and I'm not this body. Oh my goodness, I'm not this mind or this body. Then what is this observer that is observing it all? And then you realize that the observer and the observed are one.
Yeah.
Right? Which then everything kind of starts to come back into alignment. But it helps everybody that's listening, including myself, that is speaking, the speaker speaking, is essentially that simplify it. Stop looking for enlightenment. Give it up. Give up enlightenment, because love is constantly creating all the way till the physical body goes away. So stop looking for a target. and allow the very presence that each of us is, the appearance of God itself, to come forward. Is this helping?
Oh, absolutely. I just have to give a shout out here. Is everybody in the bliss? Are you feeling the bliss? David? It's like, you know, it's like the bliss email, you know, or, you know, the callback number. Because we're here. We're here in the bliss. Are you in the bliss, people? Be in the bliss. Thank you. Keep talking.
Yeah,
I want to hear more about you.
Yeah. Just laugh. Because laughing, here's what humor means. H-U means God, and I always look at M-O-R as more. So humor comes when you need more God, because you've gone to one side or the other. And we find God in the middle ground. We find God in the humor and our laughter, because essentially when we look at it, we have no idea what's going on. We're just making it all up. We're creating the good guys and the bad guys. We're creating our own stories. We're creating it all. And then we even give that up to just enjoy who we are. And that's why we laugh,
yeah.
Because who we are is made of laughter. Right? When you were born, when each of us were born, and our parents saw us, they couldn't help but smile and laugh with love. You know, we are each 100% the appearance of God. And so when we simplify that, if I see you and I don't see the 100% of God appearing in front of me, then I need to reinterpret what I'm seeing and get it right in my own consciousness. So essentially, what does that mean to any of your listeners? It means that there's 7 billion people looking back at God and forgetting it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Yeah. It's funny. I know because we find ourselves laughing a lot as well. It's really the presence. And I love your perspective, David, when you talk about the hearing. Pretty much a physical sensation in the body is hearing. And then, you know, there's the other senses as well. And I think it's really interesting when we begin to actually see, you know, the experience of God through all the beauty, and we feel it, and we feel ourselves even being uncreated and created in every moment. But there does seem to be some type of collective mind expression of God that really had no idea about God. And, you know, that kind of goes along with what you were saying, that is this 7 billion people here that have forgotten. And what do you think's happening with that, you know, in the presence right now?
Hopefully people are remembering. I mean, look,
yeah.
Each and every one of us has moments where we just are forgetful. Right? We forget where we left the keys. Oh, I left the keys inside, but I'm looking in my car. Right? So we all have moments like that where we forget. So we have tools that will help us remember throughout the day. A tool may be to remember to breathe. A tool may be to remember to pray, to do an affirmation, a mantra. Maybe go dance and loosen your body up, go for a hike, be in nature. So we have all these great reminders. As you begin to discover the essence that is you, expressing fully, you begin to have little practices that we do to remember and to stay remembering until all of a sudden that falls away, and we call it a wakefulness. You know, we see, when I look at, or each of us looks at a group of trees, each tree is different, but it's expressing the oneness. So we are the same collectively, It's just that we see the difference and we hide in the difference rather than seeing that it is that one energy. So our life becomes a dualistic life about specialness. I'm special. You're special. I want to be special. Well, look at them. I'm going to compare myself to them, or I'm going to compete with them because they're more special than I am. And so we play out that game till we decide inside of our own consciousness that we want to find out if oneness actually exists, if unity actually exists. And so, yes, when we begin to hear, the hearing feels like it's a physical hearing. But when you bring your inner ear inside your meditation work, you'll deeply hear the resonance and deeply hear the breath as the ocean. So what was physical now becomes internal, and we become in tune with that essence that we are. So collectively, we have decided to tell ourselves a story that there is something missing. And we don't know what that something missing is, but when we find it, boy, we're going to just, we'll know it all. But the joke is there is nothing missing, but the paradox is the paradox, which is that we start off with something, we feel like we're missing something, and that brings us into finding it. So everything is being used in life to bring us home to love. Every person, animal, plant, whatever, it's all created out of the goodness of God, and it's all bringing us back home.
Hallelujah.
Right, because judgment, blame, deception, hiding, running, lying, cheating, stealing, which is all the stuff that the collective teaches us is okay to get away with, is waking us up to our own alignment right now. So we're all being realigned and aligned to what we actually are. So you're starting to see the government's becoming more transparent, which means that now we have a choice. Do we allow them to continue on the way they're going, or do we intervene and say, no, no, we're the bosses of you. You aren't the bosses of us. We hire you. We voted you in, but we could vote you out. That's a different paradigm. We're not used to that. We're not used to being so worthy that we look into our own political system and go, wait a second, this is our government. You don't run us, we run you. That's love. Love is an action, and love stands up when someone's being hurt or harmed. And if, in fact, any of your listeners stands in a room where somebody's being hurt and harmed and does nothing, then, in fact, they know nothing of love. They only want to be liked. A person that wants approval and wants to be liked does not stand up for somebody else that's being hurt or harmed in front of them. Love,
right on.
Love jumps in there and does something. It doesn't sit back, relax, and enjoy the future presentation when they're watching somebody being hurt or harmed. So love is an engaged thing. Yes.
I can agree with that. I'm just in the fact that it's about love, that it responds. And David, wouldn't you say that even though we have this perception, this idea that we are individuals and that we're in bodies and all these different mechanisms and platforms of consciousness, wouldn't you say that it really is about our own experience and how we connect in our senses? Again, being in this projection that we talk about that has no form, but yet we all see it. And the action that is being demonstrated in the world around us, that love, that calling of truth, this way of truth, that seems to be collective at this point and even beyond. The way in which we all do that, wouldn't you say that it's really about the uniqueness of each of us?
Yeah,
the
everybody brings. Look, we could use the word that everybody uses, right? We call it the present because it's the gift. It's the gift of life. You are bringing forth the gift of life in every situation that you're in. That's how important you are. And so you are going to bring forth, for example, I've been given a gift where I can stand in front of, you know, 4,000, 10,000, 100,000 people and talk like I'm talking now. That would scare people half to death, most people. But that's my gift. My gift is the gift of humor and gab and telling jokes, right? That's my gift. That's my gift to an individual, to a group, wherever I'm at. That's my gift. To be so open and alive and honest and who I am, that's what I bring to humanity. Now, look, there's some people that bring to humanity the gift of, you know, building a home. So everybody's contributing in some way to humanity, and sometimes they get caught up in comparing and competing with another. But the word individual means undivided. So we are not divided. Even as an individual expression, individual means undivided. So yes, we are here to love. Are you here?
Oh yeah, I'm right in the presence.
So we are here to love. And here's a good example of that. I'll share something from my own life, and this may help out your listeners. So years ago, I had an internship at a homeless shelter in Santa Monica. And my job was to go there and be of service. And so on this particular day, I was called to talk to ask anybody in line if they needed to talk. So I went up and down the line, and not too many people wanted to talk until this one man stopped me. And he stopped me, and he started yelling at me, and he said, you know, the apocalypse is coming. God is going to destroy us all. We are all, you know, gross and sinners, and he just kept going on and on. And I listened. And to be quite honest with you, When you're actually present with someone, you don't know what's going to come up because you're in a place of defenselessness. You're not trying to defend a point of view or be right. So I'm listening, and then he stopped and he said, "What do you think?" And no joke, this came out of my mouth. I said, "I love you." And he looked at me and he started to cry. And I said, "I don't know if God has a plan or if there is a plan or whatever. But if God was here right now, I would hope that God would look at you like I'm looking at you and say, I love you." And then we hugged. That's the power of presence. That's the power of listening. That's the power of just being yourself and being aware of somebody else in your life and putting down your cell phone to spend an hour conversation with someone because you care enough to listen to them. That's the power of connection. That's the power of love, that at any moment it looks like a miracle, but it's not. It's who we are. Love is not something you got to go out on a field and train and work out and figure it out. It's a moment-by-moment experience.
Absolutely.
And God is not judging you. So get over it. Right. I said this to someone the other day. I said, and just so you're aware, God is not your servant. You are here to serve as the expression of God, the appearance of God right where you are. That's simple. Like, there's nothing complex about it. You don't have to go in your head about it. You don't have to go read books. You don't have to go, like, go to some ashram. You can. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. You don't have to wear togas and different spiritual garb and try to show people that you're spiritual when you might not be. All you have to really do is be present with where you're at. Be fully aware of where you're at. Because you're being called to serve in that space right now.
Yes.
And if your mind says it doesn't like it, get over it. Get over your mind, right? Because meditation and prayer are pretty much, here's the word I'll use with your listeners. When you meditate and you pray, you're being called to shut up and listen. be quiet, and listen. And yeah, there's some noise going on in your mind while you're meditating. Big deal. Yeah, you've got some feelings and emotions coming up. Let them come up. Be with them. Love the feelings and emotions that come up inside of you. They're yours. They're a gift. They're part of the gift of you. So essentially, we're being called to accept where we are perfectly as it is. And then once we accept it, we can then have a choice in it. Okay, now how can I work with this that's in my life now? And if I keep resisting what's in my life, then I feel like I don't have a choice and I become a victim. You have to accept where you're at, then know that you have a choice and go from there.
I love it. Yeah, I said absolutely love what you're expressing today. You know, it's kind of funny because when a lot of times I hear that in the chatter of the world, in the hearing state of the 3D reality, that, and the questions and everything else, and it really is about being in the experience of love that you are, however that is, in any form that you are. And as soon as you experience that, isn't it true, David, that gift that you're talking about, it actually does become actualized in the body? And you really do begin to see things completely different. Wouldn't you say that that is kind of the process that people are terming that's kind of, out there in the media right now? In the wonderland.
Right. Look, keep it simple, right? And so whatever is coming up for you right now, we know that it will not stay with you for the rest of all eternity, and that you're not some staken person, you're not a bad person, right? So when the feelings come up, love those feelings that are coming up in you. Don't try to change or fix them. Just let them be. And they will dissipate, and life will open up for you in a deeper, more profound way. So we are learning collectively to surrender and trust and accept. Accept that right here is okay, and that we're okay in this moment. And, we were conditioned early on in school to create problems and solve them. So a lot of people just keep creating problems and trying to solve the problems they're creating and acting like their whole life is a problem. Give up creating problems for now. Give it all up for now. Give up everything that you're telling yourself to be here. And, someone brought up to me one time when I was speaking, and they said, Eckhart Tolle said this, or Wayne Dyer said this. And I said, great, what do you have to say? These are wonderful teachers, but I could care less. I want to know what love is like in your life. How do you see love? How are you with love? Like, what gets you going in love? That will change the world. I don't care what Jesus did. We know what the man did. He loved when there was violence going on all around the globe, just like now, and made a difference, and we're still talking about it. So put down your weapons, right? And
yeah.
I want to know you. I want to know who you are. I want to know where you go when your life seems absurd and crazy, and I want to see if why it's going in a crazy, chaotic direction, that you are knowing that you are loved and that you can handle it. And that what comes out of you is, I can. I can do this. I can handle this. I am enough. I am empowered. I am loved. Whatever it takes for you in this moment to go, you know what? I can. I'm amazing. So that when one of your friends comes up to you and they're going through the exact same situation, what you tell yourself, you can now tell them, because that's how you live your life. That you don't tell them something that you don't already tell yourself. That's the magnitude that we're going to. That's the amazing grace that we talk about. That's the surrender and trust. That's the love. That's the good stuff. How are you being as God is birthing you right now? Are you breathing through the birth of the love that you are? Or are you screaming, denying it, and going, I can't do that. I can't do that. What we are dialoguing with right now is that these aren't ideas or concepts. This is life. And life is love, and you are love, and you are life expressing. So how are you being on the planet right now? How are you being on the planet? Stop asking people what they're doing and ask them how they're being. Meet people where they are. I don't care what you do. Many people do a lot of things. So many people are do-doing around the world, right? I just want to know how you're being today. How are you being right now? Well, if you say to me, I go, how are you being right now? And you go, I'm being angry. Well, good. I've been there. Right? But just be authentic with me. Don't deny your anger to try to be something you're not right now. How are you being on this planet right now? Forget about yesterday, tomorrow, what the other person's doing, maybe what you're beating yourself up over. How are you being right now? That will shift the planet.
Feel love, folks. Roy, are you feeling the love, folks? Because that's how we do it, is in the experience of love. I love you, David. I love your expression of love, coming through your words, you know, through your own essence of what's happening here. With all of us, in all the heres, in all the nows. You know, there's the magnitude of this, you know, photograph that we're in is magnificent. So I really love it. David, you have a book. Let's talk about it. Yeah, what's all that about? 90 Days Heat, Freedom Through Moksha. I like that. Can you explain what moksha is?
Well, moksha is was the yoga practice itself. So moksha in, I believe it's in India, actually means freedom. So moksha is freedom. We're all searching for freedom. So what I did was I went through a divorce, and that was my dark night of the soul. So some people reach their dark night in other ways. I reached my dark night of the soul going through a divorce, and through that divorce, I wrote my first book called The Book of Light, The Heart Opening, which is about discovering the light in the darkness. So once that period was over in my life, I went through a period of forgiveness, and I felt like a new beginning. So I saw moksha hot yoga, and I had a blog at the time, and I thought, why don't I do, to mark my new beginning, 30 straight days of hot yoga and blog on it, and I'll keep accountable for my life. I'll share everything that's happening on the mat with my readers. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm not going to bullshit with them, right? I'm going to be honest. And then this will be a good marking for my beginning. So on day 26 of my journey, Emily Moran, who runs the studio, shared with me an inspiring story and then looked at me and said, I think you could do 90 straight days of hot yoga. So this book, even though I did 100 straight days of hot yoga, is about my healing journey after my divorce and how it brought me into inner peace. And what I love about it and the responses that I'm getting from the book, and I hope that your listeners will go to Amazon.com and buy it or Barnes & Noble. What I love about it is that it's an authentic, vulnerable book from a man's point of view on how he arrived at inner peace. I'm a single dad. I coach girls soccer. I speak. I write. I do all sorts of things, but none of them really were as growth-oriented as the 90 days that I did.
So how did that work for you, David? Did you do yoga a specific amount of time each day, or did you schedule your time doing it? practice during the day?
Yeah, some days I would have to take a 6 a.m. class just to make it in my schedule. And then I would write right after the class, so I'd share my insights right after the class and struggles or whatever was happening on the mat. I was trying to find the right time. Each class is about an hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half. So after a while, it was, there were some days trying to find a babysitter to watch my daughter when I went to class. Other days were trying to fit it in my work schedule. Some days things were just becoming overwhelming and I knew I had to take the class and I didn't want to, so I had to work through that. So, it was just an honest assessment of what we do to birth ourselves in love. I just chose yoga as a catalyst.
Yes. So what happened to you during this experience of this 90 days? What has been the result of your expression in this yoga heat state right now? What are you feeling from it?
Well, two things. I really feel like the universal mantra, the universe has a mantra. The trees have it, the flowers have it, humans have it, animals have it, and it's simply just two words, I can. And what I learned from this 90 days and doing 100 days is that once I got through this, I can do anything. I can. So when something shows up in my life, I just know I can handle it. I can do this. That's the first part. The second part that I really got from it that I was never taught in my entire life growing up or even into an adult was I was never taught how to deal with feelings and emotions as a man. And so what would happen is the feeling or emotion would run through the body and I would run from it. Like, how did that look? I might go, have something to eat. I might go do something, whatever. During this process of the 100 days of hot yoga, I learned how to be with my own emotions, to be with my own sensations and not run from them. And that's really huge because I feel like the mass majority of things that happen on this planet is because people are afraid of their own emotions, their own feelings. And so during this process, I really learned how to love myself, how to love this energy that's coming through my body, how to love people in front of me, how to look at somebody because I went through the 100 days and go, you can do this. And they would say, how do you know I could do this? And I would go, because I did 100 straight days of hot yoga. You can do this. So, I like to be able to share with people what I do and that I've done. I don't like to share with people what I haven't done. So this, doing 100 straight days of hot yoga really kind of brought me into my own kingship, my own self-worth, and all that good stuff.
What an incredible story, experience that David's sharing with us this evening. David's book is 90 Days of Heat, Freedom Through Moksha.
Moksha.
Sorry about that. I have a thing with words sometimes. But my husband, he actually creates a hot yoga experience for himself every day in our kitchen.
And
we dance daily. And he goes there and dances. So in some sense, with yoga, what's your perspective about movement with yoga and being in that type of environment where there's heat?
Well, the latter part of your question, in mythology, they always talk about you have to go to the fire to let the fire burn away all the stuff that doesn't serve you. So I put myself in the fire for 100 straight days to burn away all the stuff that no longer serves me, right? The movement of yoga became different in different stages. When I first arrived at the journey, it was more of a mind-body experience, trying to almost like will the poses, if you will. Around, I think it was like day 40, what I discovered was this is a spirit, mind, body practice. And the breath is grace. And your breath, as grace, is allowing the flow of each pose. And so the will, my will went away, and the will came forward. And I was no longer trying to impress anybody or trying to press myself into the pose. The poses themselves became like little mythologies. And they became different. So corpse pose was no longer this pose where at the end of practice I could fall asleep. Pose was a reminder that I died to myself today. So yoga became more of a profound experience. It wasn't showing off. It wasn't about being flexible. It wasn't about what they're doing next to me. It was about me being in my breath and expressing what I could that day. And some days were some days were difficult. And that's okay.
Wow, wow, wow. Isn't that just amazing, folks? You know, I'd recommend it just from my own personal experience. And I know what David's saying. You know, when you move, you become aware. There's an essence of consciousness, of awareness that happens because the movement actually almost aligns body. You know, if you're dancing or you're doing yoga or you're walking or in any act, and all of a sudden what happens is that presence that David's talking about, and we're very much in that presence, each one of us. You become aware of it. And it kind of flows really naturally and synchronistically, and you end up laughing a lot.
Yeah, and you know what? I always, you know, when I lead different meditations, right? I always encourage the women in the group that if they have a difficult time sitting still in meditation, because meditation, the old school way, sitting still, is based on a masculine way of doing it. But women find meditation better when they can dance and move their bodies and express. So if some of the women that are listening find the old way of meditation difficult, maybe, try dancing. Just dance all over the place, like you guys do in your kitchen. The same thing.
Yeah, it's wild, guys. It's a really good experience. And without even attempting, as you were saying earlier, I heard you say, David, you know, without an agenda, you know, and not really trying to get anywhere or do anything, and just really allow yourself to be in this natural rhythm that you are, however that is. And all of a sudden, there you are. You know, you're with your, you know, the experience of the complete love that you are in the presence of and a part of and are. So, you know, really, for those of you that are listening, I think it's really good information that David Matthew Brown is bringing forth to the community around us. 90 Days of Heat, Freedom. Okay, go ahead, David. Why don't you tell us?
Freedom of Georgia. Okay. I do the same thing. I'm the same way with someone.
Moksha. I just love that word. It has a ring to it. And that sound. Yeah, that sound that happens. It happens, you know, in kind of a frequency with movement that really perpetuates love even more. And that's really neat, too. We have about 5 minutes left. If you want to give a call, all in and, you know, say hi to David. I understand that there are many individuals, as you said earlier tonight, David, that there are over 7 billion people that are just coming to a place of opening their eyes and really experiencing them themselves for the first time in many, many years. So this information that you're bringing forth for, you know, everybody, no matter who
Definitely.
You are, no matter where you are on planet Earth, you know, this is a, like a newness for most. I think what we're seeing, David, and maybe you can agree, and before you know it, let me just tell you, you can call in 267-521-0151. And if you don't feel like calling, that's okay too. You know, just be with yourself. It's really, really a cool place to be. I think that, you know, collectively we can all, you know, as we be in ourselves, don't you think there is a rippling effect that happens, like, with those things that are in the earth? Don't you think it ripples and has, you know, like you walk into a room and it's dark and all of a sudden you flick the light on. Well, now the room's not dark anymore, right? You can see it all. And once you see things, isn't it true, David, you can actually change them? You know, if I don't want to have that cup on that table after I turn that light on, and it is a form, I can move it. That's difficult.
Right, and that's the power. Right, that's the power of awareness. Right. So
yeah. We're
aware of something in our life, to do whatever. But right when you're aware of it, it's going to start shifting because you're aware of it now in your life. But you have to be aware of something in order to know that you have a choice in it. Some people, you know, there's some people that walk around, they put on social media, you have a choice. Well, a lot of people don't know they have a choice because they're lost in their mind. So in order to know that you have a choice, you have to first be aware that you don't know you have a choice. Right?
Yeah,
awareness is that light that we turn on the dark places within us. And then once we turn that on, we're able to see it. It helps us then move the plates, as you said, or do what we need to be done or needs to be done at that point. You know, some people believe that money makes them millionaires. That their supply comes from money. But your consciousness is your supply. I've met many wealthy people that are not wealthy people. So as we shift inward, we begin to see that consciousness is our supply. And that money is neutral. Money is just energy.
Like us all. And here we are, bridging the gap. We're bridging the gap, humanity. You know, from culture to belief to science to religion to spirituality to everything that exists in all of us. That gap is being bridged. That presence that you talk about, David, it's coming together in every one of us. It's a natural occurrence, don't you think? Or forget about the thought. It's always in the past. Anyway.
And look, just keep it simple, right? We all have the same organs in our body. We have the same brain. We all breathe. We have hearts. We have eyeballs. We have ears. There's so many things we have in common. Now, we might not have the same skin color. It's a big deal. We have so much in common, it's ridiculous. And we don't focus on that. We focus on differences. We get caught up in differences. Let's start to focus on what we have in common and start from there.
Folks, David Matthew Brown, author, 90 Days of Heat, Freedom Through Moshka. You can connect with David. I know, here we are again, right? Facebook, cook him up. Check him out on Amazon. You can visit
on Twitter, 90 Days
our website. There you go. You can visit our website at alltruenatural.com. We are hosting a spiritual festival, Bridging the Gap Spiritual Festival in Las Cruces, New Mexico, August 2015. This is basically the expression of this show, exactly what David talked about, being in the gift and being in the gift with each other. We invite you to join us. We have just about 400 people that are going to be with us one day right now of Las Cruces. So, David, we're just going to be signing off. Much love. God bless.
I love you. Thank you for having
Thanks
me.
So much. I love you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yes.